diving into the history on the condominium governance side, which is what we do every day, the minutes of the board meetings over the final 3 years of the building showed repeated attempts for the board to try and get a special assessment approved by owners for repairs. But the board repeatedly did not obtain the necessary owner approval. The condominium documents, we went back and studied them in our group here in Austin, and unfortunately, they had what a lot of condominium documents, older condominium documents have, which we do not recommend, is they require a certain threshold of an owner approval to have a special assessment passed. So for example, not only does the board have to levy or attempt to levy a special assessment, but they have to go obtain 67% of owners in the building to agree to accepting and levying a special assessment. And you can imagine it's hard to get 67% of people to show up, for one, but then agree on an item, any item, but especially an item that's going to, they're going to have to come out of their pocketbooks right away and write a check for thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. So that is something, if you ever see a condominium that has a hurdle such as that for levying special assessments, should be a immediate red flag, and the developer, if they're still drafting, or the condominium board should consider amending right away, because unfortunately this had a big impact in obviously in a lot of ways. It's one more side note on that. In our documents, like I was saying, we do not require any kind of owner approval for a special assessment, because it is our belief that the board is elected by the owners, and so the board should have that authority to levy a special assessment. They have to act in the best interest of the association, so there's already built-in protections for owners, and it's a democracy in the owners association. And so when you elect a board member, you assume that, and they have a duty to act in the best interest of the association. So they should really be the ones making these big ticket items, and that should not have to go back to owners to get their approval. So in the aftermath, while we're here today talking, in the aftermath of this collapse, in late 2021, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac issued updated guidelines in response to the condominium collapse. These guidelines went into effect at the beginning of this year, 2022, and applies to all loans in condominium projects with five or more attached units, which, as we talked about earlier, is a lot of projects. So this has some major effects, and I'll touch on the big ones here today. Now, projects with significant deferred maintenance are no longer eligible projects under Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. And the lender must go and determine that there is not sufficient deferred maintenance on a project before approving it for a loan. Additionally, all current and or any special assessments must be reviewed. And further, now a reserve study can no longer be used in lieu of the 10% budget reserve requirement. So I'm going to dive into those three effects here. So even if significant, on the first bullet point, even if significant deferred maintenance has been fully funded and work has started, the project will still be ineligible until the work is complete. And significant deferred maintenance has a long definition. I'll read it because it is important. It's defined as severe enough to affect the safety, soundness, structural integrity, or habitability of the improvements. The improvements need substantial repairs and rehab, including major components, or impedes the safe and sound functioning of one or more of the building's major structural or mechanical elements, including but not limited to the foundation, roof, load-bearing structures, electrical system, HVAC, or plumbing. So the lender must go and make sure that there is no significant deferred maintenance. And if there is, then the project cannot be approved by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. The current and special assessments, the second bullet point, must be reviewed. Special assessments must be reviewed to determine the reason for the special assessment, the total amount assessed and the repayment terms, and the lender must obtain documentation to support no negative impact to the financial stability, viability, condition, and marketability of the project. Also, as I mentioned before, this is the big one, if the special assessment is related to safety, soundness, structural integrity, or habitability, the project is ineligible unless the repairs are fully completed. So in Surfside, for example, if these guidelines were in effect and if the board had levied a special assessment to go repair the building, the project would still be ineligible until those repairs are complete or were complete. So now I'll turn it to Christy to talk about some items that lenders and those representing lenders need to be aware of in the new process.